This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number two starts now. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Nah, it's about an hour in the books. One in the books. Two to go. Boy, I hacked that up. We open up hour number two. Barry, we talked about it. Nick teased it. Nick found it. Nick set us up, if you will. A little bit of a parody that's out there. I think Bleacher Report's where I first saw it. But in a little animated short on Bill O'Brien and, Deshaun?
I mean, yeah, that's what I saw. I only watched the first 20 seconds of it, so I'll be hovering over the dumb button. But it's a pretty funny parody from the first 20 seconds that I saw. Barry, did you see the entire clip or not yet?
Yeah, I saw the whole clip. I don't remember if they curse or not, but I did see the whole clip.
All right, well, let's find out.
Well, here
How
we
does
go.
This thing work? Oh, there it goes.
Hell no.
It's Bill O'Brien!
Ah!
Deshaun, please don't hang up. I know you're mad about the DeAndre trade, but I can't control what the GM does.
You're the GM.
Exactly, I can't control what I do. Plus, you still got Will Fuller.
This Will Fuller?
Hey, Phil. Oh, no, I hurt myself answering the phone. I'll be back soon.
See? Wait. Coach, what are you doing?
Hey, yeah, I'll trade J.J. Watt for your sourdough starter and three rolls of toilet paper. You'll do two? Okay.
I know you're bored during quarantine, but stop making impulsive decisions.
You're a good scrambler, so we could probably get rid of your offensive line again.
Okay, I'm back for good now. Y'all watch Tiger. Okay, I tripped over the couch.
I know you're upset, but in return for DeAndre, we got a second round pick. Can't really evaluate the players, though, right now, so probably just going to pick the guy who interviews best on FaceTime.
Just to make you have beef, Coach.
No, we're cool, see? Yo, what up, Nuke?
Yo, real quick, how do you push someone over the internet? Okay, here, remove Coach from chat.
I saved Penn State, and I'll save the tech.
Nice plants, bro.
Oh, no, that's Kyler Murray.
Yo, what's good, Deshaun?
If you liked this video.
So good. It's so good.
Really good. And if you can't, because you don't have the visuals, but throughout, it's Will Fuller trying to say he's back on the chat and then hurting himself over and over again. So whoever did it put a lot of time into it, and it is fantastic.
Yeah, a lot of time. Yeah, it's really good. Highly recommend. Nick, you should tweet it out. Y'all go at the producer, Nick, and check it out.
Sure
Super
thing.
Funny. Especially at the end when he's like, nice plants, and it's Kyler Murray's hair. But all you see is the hair, and then they zoom out. It's really funny. We finished up the G League thing. Some genius on the text line texted the show and said, really, who cares about the health of the G League at the expense of the NCAA? And then he said, whose side are you on, the league's business model or watching good basketball? And then he texted, basketball sucks. And then he texted, Barry sucks. So somebody spazzing out on their phone and sent like four texts in a row. So that'll be the last time that I read their text for a long time, because that's just too many. You're just needy and an attention whore. And if you send four texts back to back to back to back, I'm going to need you to go down and get a life.
I was going to say you should block them till that last text. And now I think that maybe you should just gold star that one.
Yeah. I mean, I figured you would like it. That's why I read it. Because they were like, that's a dump. Barry sucks. You were like, hey, you. Oh, yeah. Okay. No, that's good.
Yeah, no. I mean, again, sometimes this whole quarantine thing has got people just going out of their head. And they're just looking for a reason to clap in, clap back, or take pot shots, which is absolutely ridiculous.
That would be the same person that when we saw them at out somewhere, they'd be like, oh, no, I love the show, man. I love you guys. So I don't care. I mean, everyone can feel free to text the show and tell me how much I suck.
It happens all the time, bro.
780-3776. Text me how much Barry sucks. Text the show and Barry sucks so much, .. Go ahead. Send them all.
Well, how about the app? I mean, I'm sitting there minding my business listening to you guys last night. And I know you made a couple references to the chat, and I was like, chat, and I wasn't really following it. And then I looked, and I saw people making comments, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh, well, who's this ass clown named Sam Rubio who says, is Joel the Bitcoin of ESPN 97.5, AJ? I mean, are you the ass clown of people that follow Barry and watch his YouTube?
Hey, hey, hey! Don't be disrespecting the people in my video chat. I got
jeez.
Don't.
Well, I'm gonna be one of those people.
I got. Well, you should come by and video chat with us. Yeah, no, it's cool. Like, there's a comment section and everything. It's, I mean, not. It's more of a chat than it, like the everyone watching can chat with each other. And then if they have questions, whatever, I'll read them. And whoever I'm talking with, we can chop it up about it. So.
Now, did you see that, boy, in the rarest of rarities, Michael Jordan did an interview this morning with Robin Roberts on Good Morning America, getting ready for the Last Dance series that's coming up on ESPN starting Sunday night with the first two episodes. He never does interviews. He hates doing, and for some reason, he's escaped having to do a lot of them like so many others. But he did it this morning, and he got emotional again. I mean, this crying Jordan meme, and then when Kobe passed away, he made fun of the fact that he was crying again, and you understood why. But today, again, when he started getting into his mom and his mom, looking out for him when he was in college, and the fact that his phone bill was $60 a month, and he only had 20 in his account, and he needed stamps because he wrote his mom letters because there weren't cell phones and Instagram and all these things. And then Robin rolled into his dad and how much his dad knew about his competitive spirit. And you could see he didn't want to bring attention to it, and he tried to casually do it. But he was wiping away a few tears. Mm. And you could – he's really invested in this series too. So it's going to – I'm looking forward to it, man. I really – whether you're a basketball geek like me or not, I think it's going to be good.
And when does it drop again, the 23rd or the 19th?
So it starts this Sunday night with the first two of the 10-part series.
Is it once a week or is it going to be
Yeah, they're going to do once a week.
Oh,
I think once a week, but two episodes per night so that essentially, in 5 weeks it's over.
See, this is Netflix has us all spoiled because I want to sit down and binge watch something and just get it out of the way. I don't drag it out for 5 weeks. Now I got to go and remember what the hell you talked about a week ago. No, player, just do them all one night. Let's get it out of the way. It's a 10-part series. Are they half hour or hour long?
I don't know. I think they're an hour at a time. But
well, let's just, start it in the morning and run it all day. Come on.
I needed better questions asked by Robin Roberts because I really didn't care about, a lot of his Carolina days, and she spent a lot of time on that. I wanted to get into more, a lot of things about his career, about, I wanted to get into what he felt about, because I think a lot of things, a real serious question is when you saw, everything that happened with Kobe and you got so emotional, I mean, mm-hmm. You realize your own mortality. He's getting up there too, and people think he's the greatest ever. But there's so many different questions. But one of the good parts about it was they talked about how his competitive spirit, which we all know, is way up there.
Oh yeah.
But at one point he was hurt, and he wanted to come back. And the doctor said there's a 10% chance you could get hurt. And the Jerry Reinsdorf, the owner, is the other voice you're going to hear in this clip, where he's trying to, obviously as the owner, he's trying to convince Michael not to play. And it's fantastic in terms of highlighting what Michael's competitive spirit was like. Here it is.
Michael asked him, well, if I play, what percentage is there that I'm going to get hurt again? Doctor said, yeah, 10%.
And I just lost it. I said, look, it's 10% chance, but it's 90% chance that I won't.
And then I chimed in to the doctors, what happens if the 10% kicks in? And they said, well, then his career would be over.
Well, everybody's just thinking about the negative. Well, I think the glass is half full. Everybody thinks it's half empty.
So I said to Michael, you're not understanding the risk-reward ratio. If you had a terrible headache and I gave you a bottle of pills and 9 of the pills would cure you and 1 of the pills would kill you, would you take a pill?
And I look at him, I said, depends on how bad the headache is.
I mean.
See, that's the competitive Michael. I love it. That's a great answer.
Bro, I've experienced.
I can't wait for this. This is going to be great.
His competitive spirit in anything that he does is off the charts. I mean, that's where I think, and that's, I think, a lot of where I always put Kobe in the discussion with, you know, in terms of the greatest ever, when you have all of those different assets, you know, at your disposal. Kobe had the closest killer instinct and competitive spirit to Michael that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to it. And it is chronologically just going through the final season. It's not over the six championships, and it's not like, you know, getting into all of the different things. It's just that final year, because Jerry Krause, before the year started, told Phil Jackson, no matter what happens, even if you go 82-0, you're done after this year. And Michael, quite honestly, said, I married myself to Phil Jackson. He was going to be my coach. So if he wasn't going to be my coach, then I wasn't going to play anymore. And Damn. So you think about it, too. Jerry Krause kind of maybe shortchanged the city of Chicago mm-hmm. and all of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many different elements. I'm really looking forward to it. It should be a lot of fun. And ESPN's going to kill it, because you think about it, when we talk about all the bad sports that have been on TV, if you're even close to a mediocre sports fan, you're dialing into this. You're not dialing into horse. Uh-huh. You're not dialing into, you know, virtual sports on TV. But you're going to dial into this, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Mike Greenberg said this morning, he covered the Bulls back in the day, and he said, you know, they a lot of times they let the talent pre-screen. He said he saw the first two already. He goes, there was a bunch of stuff in there I didn't even know. He goes, it was amazing. I can't. That's the kind of stuff I love. So,
oh yeah,
look for that Sunday night. First two episodes of The Last Dance on the Chicago Bulls on ESPN. Oh, and the other thing, Barry, you'll like. Make sure you watch it on ESPN, not ESPN2. ESPN2 is going to be the censored, clean version. ESPN regular is going to have, like, we censored it out the F-bomb there. ESPN's going to let it fly.
It's
their cable channel. So all the cussing and everything will be live and in living color if you watch the regular ESPN channel instead of ESPN2.
Yes.
Little pro tip for you right there. Another pro tip for you. If you need roofing repairs, if you have something done that needs to get done with your roof, and first of all, don't try and do it yourself, because you're going to create more problems than you are going to get the problem corrected. And second of all, Fitz Roofing right now is out there with their men trying to do good work in the Houston community. But because of the pandemic and everything that's going on with the coronavirus, they're trying to keep their men busy. So right now, if it's minor repairs, they may take care of it for you at no charge. All you got to do to find out is call 832-521-3001, 832-521-3001. Set up your free no-obligation inspection. Fitz Roofing is going to come to you, tell you what they can do. If they realize that it's minor, it's not going to be too costly, and they can do it because they have the time, they're going to do it for you because they appreciate you being in Houston, and they want to show you that they are dedicated to Houstonians and being in the city, as well as doing whatever they can in a tough period of time for the people of H-Town. It's just fantastic. It's another way they show their dedication to the city. And believe me, you're not going to go wrong with Fitz Roofing. A-plus ratings on the Better Business Bureau. 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. They're the best in the business, and they're right here in your backyard. They're not storm chasers or deposit thieves. They're not going to get your money up front and do bad work. They are quality from start to finish, and they are right now offering this special, special deal of minor repairs at no charge as they try and keep their workers busy. Check them out again, 832-521-3001 or FitzRoofing.com. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number two, 3-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Thursday in the big city. It's beautiful outside. Hopefully, wherever you are, even if it's inside, you're listening to us, and we appreciate you for doing so, becoming a suspect in the process. We were talking about this Bulls series and special coming up, Barry, but I hear that based on that noise you're making, you have something.
Well, you don't have to break the fourth wall. Just let me do it.
Oh, no, no, no. It's like breathing on the microphone, my friend. It's something we're just going to put on the table.
No, there's a big difference. It's just a subtle hint that, hey, because we can't – because normally when we're in studio, I raise my hand. Yeah, it's the closest we're going to get to a nonverbal without you going, oh.
So, wait, Barry's got something. Hold it. Stop the press. Go.
BG said on the text line, he said, spending my dirty 30 cleaning out my garage. Happy birthday to me. Yeah, happy birthday to you, BG. Thanks for listening.
Yep, happy birthday.
We appreciate you putting us on in the garage and checking us out.
Thanks for being a big Barry fan.
I said that, you know, that one guy texted that I suck, so everybody texted me. So we got Barry sucks so much, O'Brien would trade D-Hop for him. That's not bad.
Okay. All right.
That's not bad. And then they all just got in. Barry sucks so bad, he'd be a worse GM than Bill O'Brien. Barry sucks so much that Bill O'Brien would trade Deshaun Watson, J.J. Watt, and a bag of Skittles to acquire him. So there's your – that's it. That's the only – that's the best you could do, clones.
That was kind of weak. I was just having fun with it.
Yeah. But,
oh, well.
Yeah, I know that you guys, there are people that think I suck. I want to hear it. Let's go. Give me your hate. Let's go. Send it in.
Done. I'll do it. I'll send it right now.
Not you, Nick. You don't get no. You don't get to text the show and tell me how much you hate me. You text me at night and do that. So
Barry is fat. And ugly. Really, really ugly.
Dude, this fat thing is getting out of control. It's sad. I gotta do something. This damn quarantine thing is not good.
I
digress.
You could paint AJ's wall.
When we were getting it, I was like, bro, it looks like you're in a sex dungeon. What the? He was like, oh, you want me to close the curtains? I was like, yeah, it looks like you're in a sex dungeon right now. So
I thought most people thought they were commenting that he looked like he was sitting on the toilet.
No, it looked like he was in a sex dungeon. And then two nights ago, I had AR Platinum on, and somebody said, it looks like he's a hostage, and this is his release, this is his plea for a release video. Some of y'all got to work on your backgrounds. Yeah, we got to step our background game up. I
told you about that, man.
Yeah,
I told you that's a big thing these days.
I know. I just have a couple pictures on the wall. I did order some lights and stuff for the casa to do all this because I think I'm gonna keep doing it once the quarantine's over. So
we heard that with the 15. We'll see. So where are you guys on this?
I'm over here.
Because of all of this with the Bulls special coming out, they started talking about the greatest teams of all time again. And obviously, until the Warriors beat the regular season record, the Bulls were thought to have had the greatest team in the history of the game. Shaq comes out, says he disagrees, and says that his Lakers in their prime would beat the Bulls in their prime. Sounded something like this. Yep. Here, Nick's getting it.
I feel like the three-peat Lakers, I'm not trying to make a hot take here, but the three-peat Lakers in your primes would have beaten those Bulls in their primes.
Of course. Yes, easily. Yeah.
Why?
Because I would have killed Luke Longley, Bill Winning, Cartwright. Yeah. So the factor is me and my free throw shooting. So, okay, another question is, our Lakers in their prime – in Chicago, no problem. Who is Phil Jackson with? Is he with us or is he with them?
I think he's with them because he was with them first.
So he would have tried the Hacker Shack thing, which so the I still would average my 28-29, but the key would have been the free throws. So, you know, with me, it's always 50-50, so hopefully I would have been on. If I've been on, we win. If I'd have been off, we lose. But you know, I love having these conversations. They would have did this, we would have did that. But I could strictly say I think we would have beat them.
What says you, boys?
I think he's got some valid points because you've got Kobe and MJ, and I'm not going to say they cancel each other out, but they're both going to make each other work on the defensive end. But they would have no answer for Shaq. Just that is the difference to me.
I think the 50-50 part of, you know, whether he had an off night on his free throws or not would have been too much of a gamble in my eyes going into that series. I feel like there would have been a good chance that he would not have made enough free throws. So I feel like they wouldn't have beat Prime Bulls, but he does have some valid points, like Barry says. I just don't think you can't depend on the fact if he had a good night behind the free throw line, because there were times where Shaq actually had a pretty good shooting percentage within a game. It's just I don't know when that's going to pop up in a seven-game series.
So to me, the key is going to be the fact that you might not be able to match Shaq, but you had three big bodies and all those fouls that were at least better than serviceable at playing. You know, a lot of times they throw in big bodies in a game like a Joey Dorsey, and he's just absolutely useless with the exception of six fouls. But Longley, he couldn't even say Bill Winnington and Bill Cartwright. But those guys could make free throws, they could make shots, and they were better than serviceable. The key to me, Scottie Pippen. I think Kobe and Jordan cancel each other out. I think three big men against Shaq obviously advantaged Lakers, but I don't know how much. But I think Pippen would have been a load for the Lakers.
And then what year Lakers team is it again? I want to see what that roster was.
Oh, so that's the
year where they won. They were going for the three-peat. So that you just look at whatever years that they were in the championship run of winning back-to-back titles. And then Prime Bulls, is it the first three or is it the second three? Because now you've got some different parts. You've got Rodman in the second three. You've got Tony Kukoc in the first three. So there's some parts that are not interchangeable per se, depending on which Bulls team you pick too.
Yeah, I would want to see a roster breakdown.
We'll look it up during the break. We've got plenty more to get to.
Yeah, I've got it now, so.
Okay, so we'll look it up, get back to it as we open up the second half of the show. So, one in the books and still another second half of the show to go. Stay tuned for the second half of The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, open up the second half of the show. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Thursday in the big city. Talking a little bit about Shaq's comment that he thought Lakers in their prime, which was around the 2009-2010 type season, I think, Barry, if I'm accurate, against Bulls in their prime. Shaq says Bulls win unless he has a bad night at the free throw line.
No, but it again, wasn't. It was 99-2000. Okay. They won 67 games that year with Shaq.
99-2000. Okay.
Yeah. And the team that I guess they're comparing that to is the 72 win Bulls team, right? So we're going the 67 win Lakers versus the 72 win Bulls. I think that's the fair comparison.
Okay. I'll go with it. I'll allow it.
Yeah. Oh, nice. You had Shaq and Kobe. That third guy on the Lakers, because you mentioned Jordan, obviously, and his points per game. I don't know. So I'll give you the top three scores for each, and you tell me, from purely a scoring perspective, who you would rather have.
Okay.
For your Lakers, it was Shaq with 29, Kobe with 22.5, and Glenn Rice putting in 16 a game.
Doesn't scare me in the least. Well, Glenn Rice doesn't scare me in the least.
I'll just round up or down. So you got 30, 23, and 16 versus the Bulls with Jordan, Pippen, and Tony Kukoc putting in 30, 20, and 13.
Okay.
You take Jordan, Pippen, and Kukoc, or do you take Shaq, Kobe, and Glenn Rice?
I'm taking the Bulls.
Are you?
Yeah.
Boy, I kind of like Shaq and Kobe. I mean, that's...
I think Glenn Rice is easier to guard. I understand
Shaq and Kobe are giving you 53 a game just between the two of them.
Okay.
I mean, Pippen and Jordan is giving you 49. But But most of that is Mike, you know. And if you can get a lockdown defender on Mike and knock some of that down a little bit,
so the other I would say
else over 20.
So who are your other two starters then? Robert Horry and Fisher.
Ron Harper and AC Green were the start. It looked like they started the most because you had
along with Derek Fisher.
Yeah, you had Fisher. So it doesn't have it listed by position. But
and the other ironic thing is Ron Harper won championships with the Bulls too, in the earlier the first three.
So did Horace Grant. He won one with the Lakers and the Bulls.
Yeah, yeah.
Horace Grant was on both teams. So you gotta split. One's gonna get Grant. One's gonna get Harper. you had Bryant. You had Derek Fisher, Rick Fox, AC Green, Ron Harper, Robert Horry, and Tyronn Lue, Shaq, Glenn Rice, Brian Shaw. That were the bigger names.
John
Sally. Yeah, that were the bigger names on the Lakers. This Bulls team. Jordan Pippen, Kukoc. You had Steve Kerr. You had Ron Harper. Dennis Rodman yanking down rebounds.
Yeah.
Who else? That's pretty much it. Yeah, John Sally. Showing up on both teams.
So John Sally and John Sally, Pistons champion. John Sally, right place, right time, brother. Wow.
Yeah, John Sally, Ron Harper, and Horace Grant that bounced around on all three teams or on both teams. Pretty crazy.
Yeah. I see. I mean, look, the more I look at it, the Lakers are a deeper team than I thought.
Dude, and Ron Harper was on both teams.
Well, that's what I said. I said Harper.
Yeah. You got Harper, you got Sally, you got
Grant.
Horace Grant, and who? There was one other one.
Let me see.
Maybe not. That's the three. But that's crazy, dude. That they have those same kind of players in common that far apart.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Shaq is an advantage, but I think that Shaq makes a good point, and I'm surprised that he would be that honest about it. But he's right. Is that Phil Jackson would play Hack a Shaq. And it's not just a strategy at the end of games. It would be at the end of quarters. It would be used a lot. And that's something that would have to be – that's one of those things that really frustrated Kobe, was that Shaq never got better at the line. And that's a strategy that works in a lot of cases. So –
Well, let me ask you this. Who do you guys think would win the rebounding battle? Because you've got Dennis Rodman that was pulling down 15 a game, Shaq that was pulling down 14 or 13 and a half. Is Rodman going to be able to out rebound Shaq? He's faster,
well, he's not guarding,
but obviously
Shaq.
No, but they're both going to be fighting for the same rebound. Who's winning who's winning that rebound battle between the two?
I think Rodman on average for the series would average more rebounds than Shaq, because like I said, when you go to the Bulls, you have big bodies that are at least going to try and box him out, and he wasn't exactly the most energetic when he went after rebounds. Whereas Rodman's sole focus and the only reason why he was good was because he was a rebounding and defending machine.
Yeah.
And he went after everything. And I think that, not that he would outplay Shaq across a box score, but I think in the rebounding category, I would say Rodman would end up with more boards than Shaq for the series.
Speed, yeah. Well,
yeah.
Because he could still jump and anticipate and all those things. Like you said, Shaq maybe wasn't as energetic.
What year were you going with roster-wise for the – for the Bulls?
The 95-96 team, because that's the year they won 72.
All right.
That was when Rodman was pulling down. I think he was averaging like 15 boards.
Yep, so I said 15. And Shaq was at 13-5 or 13-6. So it was pretty close. But I'm kind of with you, Joel. I think Rodman wins that just because of that. He loved rebounding and hustle, and he would dive on the floor. So I think that rebounding edge would go to the Bulls. I still think scoring wise, the Lakers, man, they got their top three. Just they're going to put up more points than. And you got guys,
roster that I
think I would trust more to knock down a three here and there. Robert Horry and Glenn Rice.
Oh, and Fisher.
Yeah.
You know, I think Kerr's going to make threes. Harper was decent at threes, but I think overall talent on a roster, now that I look at it, I think the Lakers had better role players.
Mm-hmm.
Then did the Bulls.
Yeah.
So it would be interesting.
Yeah,
I also thought
you could go back and forth on this for hours.
And I thought it was interesting that Shaq said he liked doing this kind of thing, because Kobe was one of those guys that despised it. He did, and of course, a lot of it was because he was never in the conversation consistently when they talk about the greatest ever. It was always Michael and LeBron, and he felt like, I think he despised it because he felt like he should be in the conversation.
Well, he probably despised it because he felt like he was going into the conversation from a defensive position, right? Having to defend why instead of, you know, hey, you know, some people say you're better than Jordan, are you? It was always, hey, people don't include you as the among the best with Jordan, LeBron. So I think it was approach too, which is probably what perturbed him.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. But I think that's also why he developed the whole his whole response to any time it came up was he hated it simply because he was not included in the top two, and that chapped his ass because again he was as competitive as he was. But when you look at it, I think the best thing that I don't know if it was Bill Russell that said it, but and it might have been Kevin Garnett. I think it might have been Kevin Garnett that finally said it publicly. But he said, I don't know why we get caught up in the greatest ever. We should just stick to the greatest of a decade because you can have the greatest in each of the decades and you can have Magic and Bird. You can have Dr. J. You can have Jordan and Kobe and LeBron because the one main factor that everybody doesn't bring up enough is the difference in style of play. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had Lambeer on ESPN the other day, and he was talking about, which is surprising to me, but he said LeBron's the greatest player ever because of the fact that he's doing what he's doing, and at 6'8 and 265-plus pounds, as athletic as he is, that he gave him a bunch of credit. But he also said, look, the one thing LeBron would have to do that we did to Michael was, at a certain point, if Michael was making him shots, we're knocking him on his ass. And yeah, we are flat out going to physical the hell out of him. And it wasn't just Joe Dumars who was just going to play defense, but every time he got past the first line of defense with Dumars, one of those big bodies was going to come over there and knock him to the floor. Nowadays, that's a flagrant foul. The guy who did it might get thrown out. And that's why I think if when you change eras, if you put Jordan in today's game, I think Jordan's numbers go way up. I think if you put LeBron in Jordan's era, I think LeBron's numbers come down a bit because it's so much more physical. Even though he's a strong athletic player, I think he'd really have to alter his game because of the way the fouls would not be called that they're called now, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. By the way, somebody pointed out on the text line, Dennis Rodman, also a Laker for a year.
Was it for a full year?
Well, he was a Laker. He played 23 games as a Laker in 98-99. Crazy.
Yeah, there were a lot of guys a lot of teams that took flyers on Rodman late, hoping that they could still find a little magic left, and he was so far gone that there's just absolutely no way.
I will say, Kevin Garnett, I don't think he'd be saying that argument about player of the decade if he was in the discussion in terms of being one of the best ever. You know, you don't hear LeBron or Kawhi or MJ saying that. Because he's not in the discussion, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's easier for him to say that. But I do think it's a good point. Because it is a difference. It's a completely different game every 10 years. I think anybody can make that argument.
But I think it's valid. I mean, I really do. I think the change in eras with the way the game is played and officiated and the rules are actually a very big factor. I mean, you think about Steph Curry. If you put Steph Curry back in the day, Steph Curry's going to get the crap beaten out of him.
Man, yeah. No. No, Harden too.
Yeah, that's the other.
Like,
year,
he
would
have been able to handle it, but Curry, he would have been too fragile. I mean, he's just
that's
too
what
small,
I mean.
And he would be hurt again and again and again.
Yeah,
Barry sucks so bad. California tried to use him as a replacement for plastic straws. That's from Youngblood. That's pretty good, Youngblood.
That's actually pretty well done.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. The inbox, yeah. Barry sucks so much, instead of denying it, he'll accept it and just scream at you that you suck too, mother bleeper.
Okay. They're all right.
Oh, yeah. Barry sucks so bad, his mama should have traded him for a girl or a box of ding-dongs. Wow.
No, see.
That was very aggressive.
It's personal, and we brought mom into the discussion. I don't like it.
Barry sucks so much the joke joint shut down just to keep him from coming back. John Parker, that was amazing.
That was really good.
Good luck being better than that, clones. God, that was funny.
Pretty good. All right, we'll continue to roll on. We're in hour number two of the three-hour extravaganza. Room for you if you want to join. The texts are fantastic, as Barry just read some of those. You can tweet, you can call 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Hit us up on Twitter. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Suspects, Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Thursday. Rest in peace, Brian Dennehy.
Say what?
Come on, man. He was Chuck Callahan and Tommy Boy.
Oh, really?
Yes, the older guy. Dang. He had a lot. He was a supporting actor in a lot of TV shows, a lot of movies. I just looked it up on Wikipedia. Boy, he was in a lot of movies, man. He was in First Blood. He was in Rambo, Semi-Tough, 10 with Bo Derek.
Yeah.
Legal Eagles, Presumed Innocent, Tommy Boy. Had a voice role in Ratatouille.
In the who?
That cartoon mouse movie.
Mm. No. No.
Yeah,
between
TV and movies, he had a pretty good run.
Yeah, he did. I'm on the wiki now. Goodness gracious, it's a long list, and he was doing stuff up through this year.
Yeah, 81. I told Nick we went to the same. We were in the same high school class.
Well done, my friend.
Yeah, he said he was born. Nick said he was born in 1938. I said, "See, we were born in different hospitals, but we grew up together."
H-Town Blue sent in a text. Barry sucks about as much as Nick weighs, and Nick is fat. Ha ha! Love the show.
Oh wow!
Yep. Collateral damage there, Nick.
Bam. Where'd that come from?
Well,
Nick, what'd you do to him? Normally, isn't he normally one that goes at AJ?
H-Town Blue. I don't know.
Yeah.
Barry sucks so bad Carol Baskins wouldn't murder him. All right.
Wow.
Now that it was supposed to just be text about how much I suck, but now Barry is so ugly. Now, that's off topic, okay? And it wasn't even great. Barry's so ugly when I shot him, the bullet came back and asked for a blindfold. You got that off of the back of a Laffy Taffy, you weirdo. All right. Okay.
Well, you started something with that because I see that they just keep coming in.
I'll peruse the inbox. Yeah, it's starting to fill up again. So I'll go through and weed out all the crappy Barry sucks texts and just read the good ones.
Little worried, fellas, are you? New York and LA extending the stay-at-home orders until at least May 15th. Gotta believe that's just going to start a trend, and more cities are going to jump on board with that one.
That's a little worrisome. Yeah. Now it depends on who you listen to, because the president's like, we got to get this economy going. See, that's what he's worried about, is the economy, because
yes,
the economy equals reelection, and other people are worried about dying. So
I was going to say he's worried about reelection as well as the economy. You're right. But they are hand in hand. So I totally agree with you. The problem is that he's again created a divide. Because of the fact that instead of just handling this and everybody with all hands on deck, now he's pissed off all the governors because he said he has total authority. And, you know, that comment, now you got Cuomo and the governors on the East Coast forming their own coalition of governors that will do what they think as opposed to what the president tells them to do. We don't need a pissing match back and forth right now. We need to just stay on top of this.
Yeah. I would like to err on the side of people living. So, trust me, I think everybody is ready to get back to work. Everybody. But you know what it's not worth is losing loved ones and losing friends and losing just innocent people just because we're worried about kickstarting an economy. there's going to be damage done. Yes, that it's going to suck. But you sometimes you don't have a choice. These are the tough decisions you have to make. Life versus economy. This is the good old US of A. I fully believe whatever happens, we bounce back. We're resilient, and it's not like that this country hasn't been through things like this before or worse than this that have destroyed the economy worse than this. So
I'm with you that it's not an if, it's a when. And when we get to that point, we will bounce back. It's just that the when may be longer than a whole lot of people want to accept. And I think from a sports perspective, unfortunately, you know, the best hope I think anybody can have as a sports fan is that football season goes off as normal. But other than that, all bets are off. I mean, I saw that the PGA yesterday said they plan on playing events mid-June without any galleries at the courses. Well, good luck to you, and I hope that that's the case. But even that, with an individual sport, I think is a grandiose dream at this point, simply because of the fact that, like we said, you're going to televise, you're going to have a lot of people there, you're going to have the media there because they're going to cover it. And that's just an individual athlete sport. Now when you start talking about baseball or the resumption of the NBA season or, you know, any of these other things, I just think that, you know, we saw our first NFL player publicly come out and say he tested positive yesterday. That sets off a whole new set of red flags going, see, now NFL players are getting it too, which means when you want to start talking about getting these guys together for OTAs or training camp, or whatever the case may be, you're setting yourself up for a very, very vulnerable position that, you know, the minute that you go to training camp and someone tests positive, all bets are off again.
Yeah, somebody just texted the show and said, I err on the side of not being a kitty cat, a sissy, we'll say, but with the P word. Well, then you err on the side of being a dumbass, because it's not about being macho.
Nope.
That has nothing to do with it. That's the kind of ignorance that gets people killed, is thinking, oh, well, you know, I'm tough. Dude, it's not about that. It's not about not being a sissy or being tough. It's about being smart, because there's something out there that is killing people if they get it, especially the elderly. What an ignorant statement to make.
It really is, and I think you said it best, though. I think all, you know, everything should be back burner except for saving lives.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as we love sports, we miss sports, we want sports to return, we have to be smart about the fact that sports is so insignificant when you start talking about the amount of death we have experienced in this country. And someone said, well, you know what, total deaths for the year are down year to year, so this corona thing ain't that bad. Oh, no. Because even if deaths are down, there was a multitude of different things that people were dying from a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that this is the major, major contributor and is something that still doesn't have a cure, I mean, you got to reevaluate your priorities. Everybody does.
Pretty crazy.
Can I give a quick shout out to those struggling from this situation?
Sure.
Yes.
Jerry Bowe, I just saw this on Twitter. Jerry Bowe is teaming up with Kobos Q, and I don't want to mispronounce this person's name, but I believe it's Lee Hong Win, and they are looking to help frontline workers. So people at hospitals, testing sites, custodians, clinics, grocery stores, policemen, they're looking to help those. So they want to help by providing a full rack of ribs, chicken and sausage, 2 pints of potato salad, 2 pints of Shiner Ranch beans. So if you want to message Jerry Bowe, Kobos Q, they will do that. They're looking to feed a certain number of people. To get all the information, go to @JerryBowKnows with a Z. He's teaming up with Kobos Q, who we all know Kobos Q knows what he's doing when it comes
throws
down to
down
barbecue.
On the grill. Yeah.
So just wanted to give a quick shout out.
Very cool.
No, and good people doing good things. We've already talked about how much we love Kobos Q, and the food is off the hook. And Jerry Bowe seems to always go above and beyond trying to do things for people, whether it's people that follow him and get his gambling advice or just people that he wants to help. He helped schools a while back, too. So good things with good people. And again, another quick reminder that if you're in the neighborhood, Damaris Barbecue is the place to be if you're a first responder. Get out to Damaris Barbecue before 5 o'clock if you possibly can, because we are doing something very special today again that we have promoted throughout the show. BioPledge will absolutely sanitize the inside of your vehicle free of charge for first responders today. So head out to West Loop at 18th Street at the Damaris Barbecue parking lot. If you get there before 5, they're going to absolutely free of charge professionally sanitize the inside of your vehicle. Very much well worth it. A very big thank you to all the people involved. ESPN 97.5 putting it on. Garner Oil is the sponsor, and of course, BioPledge. So we appreciate you guys, and keep doing what you're doing as we try and do a little something for you. We'll be back with a whole lot more. It's the Usual Suspects, and the final hour of the show comes up next. ESPN 97.5.